telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom.
What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Love it when we can help break news here on Civic Media. We're going to jump right in this afternoon, folks, with no further introduction, which is rare for me. Usually I like to tell you what we got going on the show today, but I'm going to save that for a little later because my special guest right now is Professor Charles Franklin from Marquette University Law School. Their pollster extraordinaire, Marquette, just released just minutes ago. It became public. Their newest poll that has just been out in the field. This is the last poll before we will go to the polls for the actual tally of votes. Welcome, Professor Franklin. What can you tell us about where Wisconsin sits in these critical presidential, Senate, and congressional elections?
Well, I think people will be shocked to learn that it's a very close election.
Shocked, I say.
Yes. In the presidential race, we have it at a one-point Harris lead, 50-49, with likely voters. That includes people who are initially undecided, but we ask if you had to choose, what would you do? When we let those people stay undecided, it's still a one-point lead, 48-47, with 5% undecided. I think that 5% is worth noting because that's a lot bigger than the 1 point separating the two candidates. And how those people make up their minds over the next 6 days, who to vote for or if to vote, that's easily enough to sway this race. Also, the margin of error for the poll is 4.4 percentage points. So a 1 point lead with a 4 point margin of error certainly means we don't have any clear indication about the lead. When we look at the Senate race, it's a 2 point lead for Tammy Baldwin, 51-49, or with undecideds, it's 48-45 with 7% undecided. Mm. So in both of these races, the undecideds are enough to tip the balance. We'll see which way they tip in about 6 days from now.
I appreciated your statement, Professor Franklin, to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that it should not surprise anyone if Donald Trump wins, and it should not surprise anyone if Kamala Harris wins. I appreciate you pointing out this tight race. Just because one or the other side wins doesn't mean that something bad happened in our election. It means it's a tight race with people voting in great numbers for both candidates. Speaking about these undecideds, do you have a sense from the polling about who are these low propensity voters? Are these people who don't really a party affiliate? Who are they? Why are 5% seems like a lot?
Yeah, it is, especially after all this campaign. But they are people who are conflicted in ways that make a lot of sense. Mm. So people that dislike both candidates, that's about 9% of voters now. And those folks, over 40%, say they haven't made up their minds. They're undecided about how to pick the lesser of the two evils as they see it. Another group is independents. About 21% of them are undecided. Makes sense. They're not partisans by definition. And finally, Republicans who are conflicted over Donald Trump. About 13% of Republicans have an unfavorable view of Trump. That's down from 30% a year ago, by the way. But that 13% is really troubled. Again, 42% of them are undecided. Of those who've made up their minds, about 4 or 5% more voting for Harris than for Trump. But it's clear that almost half of them just are saying they haven't made up their minds at this point.
So based on your experience, especially given the polling that you have done over the 16, 20, and now 24 cycle, Professor Franklin, I'm curious, do you have any sense, statistically based or instinctually based, and you can certainly distinguish between the two, if the undecided voters may be more susceptible, or whether these, what I'm going to call relatively minor media blips that are happening right here at the end, may have some sort of outsized impact simply because people are waiting until the last second. We can think of, you know, Kamala Harris today disclaiming Joe Biden's apparent reference to some set of Trump voters as garbage, or the explicitly racist jokes told at Madison Square Garden. Do these do you expect them to have some sort of impact or sway?
Yeah, this is the in an extremely close race. You worry about any event could tip the race a little bit. What I can tell you, though, is in 2016, when the Comey letter came out about Clinton's email server on the Friday, a week before the election, we saw in the exit polls, those people who said they decided in the last week broke heavily for Trump, giving him over 60% of their votes. Those people in 2020 who decided in the last week broke almost as heavily for Joe Biden at the end. So I think the main lesson here is it's really unpredictable which way late deciders go. A big event might tip them uniformly, but it's just awfully hard to know precisely because they're conflicted and they're having so much trouble making up their minds.
How do the third party candidates fit in, especially in the presidential race, Charles?
Yeah, in the presidential race, they're doing a little better than they did a month ago, which is a little surprising. A total of about 9% say they'll vote for a third party candidate. For Kennedy, that actually tipped up a little bit to 5% for him from 3% a month ago. The others didn't move very much. Usually the third party candidates drop off, and that's what was happening until this month's poll. As of late September, they'd continued to decline. I think they reflect this still difficult choice that people feel of those who don't like either candidate, those who are unhappy with the Biden record, but also unhappy with Donald Trump. Those kinds of conflicts are driving some people into the third parties. Also, there are people who are genuinely just anti-Democrat and anti-Republican who are looking for a third party that they think would reflect their values better than the major parties.
Very briefly, setting aside those undecided voters that are moving towards third party candidates, has your polling or experience indicated to you that those third party voters understand very clearly that their third party vote is effectively robbing them of the opportunity to weigh in one way or the other with one of the candidates that will win the election?
I think that became very clear after the 2016 election, when 5.5% voted for third party candidates. But 4 years later, only 1.5% voted for third party candidates. I think that was a lesson that in a really close race, voting for a third party may reflect what you want, but it may also tip the race. And we saw that actually from 2000 to 2004, the third party vote dropped off a lot. But 2016 is 8 years ago. So people under 30 generally didn't vote in that election. It's a fading memory at this point, and we'll see where the third party vote really ends up next week.
Very briefly, I know you have to go, Charles. Of those undecided, what do you think candidates could do to convince them? Or is this just a point where these people have to make up their minds? I mean, is there some one or two things that's preventing folks from deciding?
I think the candidates have already said and done almost everything they could do. Outside events or a flub of some sort could tilt it a little bit. But I'm really just seeing this conflict between people's partisanship and how they see the candidates, and that's just a real difficult thing for people to cross over and vote for the other party if they dislike their party's nominee, or they don't like the record of the party, or they disagree with the party on issues. So people are just in a tough spot for that.
Thank you so much. That's Professor Charles Franklin of Marquette University Law School, the polar extraordinaire, the guy that knows all the statistics. Thanks so much, Charles. Really interesting stuff there, folks. If you want to get your 2 cents in on these most recent poll reactions and results, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm going to give you my reactions right now. I get it. And the thing, as I've been listening to network coverage, and a lot of the network coverage is, of course, focused on these undecided or independent or swing or low propensity voters. And they've got interviews that they've been running of these folks. And the theme that I seem to hear most frequently, especially from conservative and Republican women who are self-identifying as undecided, is something along the lines of, I'm a traditional conservative, and so I don't like Kamala Harris's policies, but Donald Trump is an unacceptable candidate. He is a bad person. Something along these lines. Not my language, theirs. And the thing that occurs to me is, I hope if you are out there and you are one of these undecided voters, and you think that Kamala Harris doesn't match up enough with your policy preferences, I ask you, go to the Washington Post. They've got a policy quiz that you can take. It removes the D's and the R's from the policies, and you go strongly agree to agree. We'll put that poll in our show notes for today. I challenge you to take that poll, see where you land. Do you actually agree more with Kamala Harris's policies than Trump's? I ask you to spend the additional 15 minutes looking at the 16-page policy proposal Donald Trump put together. 16 pages, that's the platform from the RNC. Versus the hundreds of pages of policy proposals. You don't have to read them all. They got an executive summary section that you can find at Kamala Harris's website. There is also in the New York Times a side-by-side comparison of both candidates on the most important policy questions organized by subject matter. We'll put both of those links in our show notes. You can find those at civicmedia.us. And you can check it out. So if you think, gosh, Donald Trump's bad guy, don't like him, not a good person, but I think I like his policies more, go check yourself. I'm Maggie Dawn. We're going to come back with David Marsteller, candidate in the 22nd Assembly District. You want to pay attention to this one, folks. Keep it locked. Coming up next, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'ma keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.